Praise the Lord. Good to be back tonight here in this place. We are grateful for that opportunity to be here tonight. We don't take it lightly. And I want to say thank you so much for allowing us to come down to y'all's camp meeting. It's always a joy to come. And a lot of folks don't know this. We take our vacation that week from work, and we come down to be part of that. It's our vacation time. We're so grateful for that. We get a time to relax. And last year when we went back to church, somebody said, man, you need to go back to that camp meeting more often. Said, you act like you come back fired up, amen. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. And but I do thank you for the nice room you give us to stay in and all the good fellowship and food that you provide for us. And it's a great honor to be part of that. Then also want to thank you for the time our ladies came to the ladies' retreat and our bus broke down. And you folks were so gracious about carrying our folks all the way back. And we are so grateful and thankful for that as well. Luke 16 tonight, Luke chapter number 16. Want to bring the message the Lord placed upon our hearts. And I believe that we're living in a time the devil is after the family, amen? I believe that if he can get the family, he can get the church, he can get the home. And I believe that many of us need to get busy trying to reach our families. So many times we get so busy reaching other folk, we don't take time to reach those right around us. And I'm afraid that a lot of times our family gets left out. You know, I just preached at church not long ago about the family circle being broken. I don't know about you, but I want my family to be with me in heaven. I want all my friends, all my foes to be there with me too. There is something better than going to heaven, and that's carrying somebody with you. Look there with me in Luke chapter number 16 tonight, verse number 19. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fare sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice this, and he cried. Didn't see no parties there. He was crying. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that were passed from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wilt send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, Lord, we come to you tonight with humble hearts. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity to stand here this evening in this pulpit, in this place. And God, I know tonight it's all in your purpose and plan. Lord, otherwise we wouldn't have got the invitation. But Lord, tonight I ask that you hide me behind the cross, that you be high lifted up, that all men would be drawn to you. And tonight I pray there's one in our midst that don't know you, that they might find out what it is to have that forgiveness of sin and become a child of the King for it's eternally too late. But Lord, tonight I pray that for the next few moments that the Spirit of God would meet with us. And Lord, you would do that in this place that you desire to do. And Lord, that we understand that you promised in the Word of God that your Word won't return void, but it will accomplish that which you set it for to accomplish. Lord, I pray, God, tonight there's a mom here who's got a lost kid, lost loved one, lost brother, sister. There's a dad here tonight, Lord, that got somebody they love that's lost, or maybe a friend. I pray, God, tonight you give us a burden to reach them before it's too late. Lord, we do believe you're soon coming. And we do believe the signs is telling us that. And Lord, you promised that you prepared a place for us. And if you did that, you're coming back. And Lord, we believe that to be the case tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that the message be yours and not mine. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Luke chapter number 16, if you've been around church any amount of time, this well-familiar portion of Scripture concerning hell. We find here in the story we read, what we just read in the Scripture, we find that here goes a family, and no doubt, we know in order to have a family, there's got to be a mom and a dad, but also we find there's six boys in this family. We find that he begins to cry. He says, "Would you please go send my father's house as my five brethren come to this same place of torment?" But we find here goes a boy who's in hell, and he's not just any kind of fella. He knows he's a little religious, if you will, because he knows all about Father Abraham. He knows about mercy. He says, "Have mercy on me." You know, the main thing, the important thing to me is tonight that he was begging for water, but never experienced the water of life that one can drink of and they'll never thirst again. But inside of him be a well of water springing up in everlasting life. But now he's begging for water. He's begging for his brothers, and we understand that all Lazarus desired in our story was he just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And we understand that the dogs came and licked his sores. But this here goes a mom and dad somewhere, and here goes a family's got, we realize these boys, it may have been girls, the Bible don't tell us, but we don't add to that. It don't say it was there, so I'm not going to say it was. But what I'm saying is we find a family that's there. But when we find something there, we find some things that really stick in my mind tonight about this. There's four things I will notice about this family, because I believe tonight in what Pastor Scripture just read, that every one of us can relate to what we're talking about tonight. Because, friend, I'm telling you that the world is not our family's friend, amen. Truth is, everything in the world is trying to pull against the family, to be honest with you. I mean to tell you, there's everything in the world that's going on. I'm also ride EMS some and fire, and I find that our young folks today are just overwhelmed on things, and the devil's coming in and snatching out the young folks one by one. We've seen young girls with needles stuck in their hands, and we saw young folks just taking their own lives and have no reason to live. And everybody says it's just okay, but can I remind you, friend, about my kids? I'll just be honest with you. I made my mind up I want to stand the gap for them, amen. I made my mind up that I don't want the devil to get them, amen. I crowded the body too much at night when they had fevers. I changed too many diapers, amen, to let the devil, who don't want my kid to be what they ought to be, have them, amen. But you understand that everything seems to be against the family these days. Our government seems to be against the family. It seems that what God calls abomination, they want to call on that lifestyle. But friend, sin is still sin in the sight of God. It makes no difference what we call it. We call it anything we want to. But I'm telling you that when sin finishes, it's going to bring forth death. And the wage of sin is death. And I'm grateful it didn't stop there. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want to know some things about this family tonight, because I'm afraid that so many times, can I say, that we'll go around the table during Christmas and Thanksgiving time, and we're coming up on the holidays now, as we know, and we'll talk about how good Grandma's famous chicken pastry is. We'll talk about how good the pecan pie is, or maybe some banana pudding is, but we won't talk about how good Jesus is. Can I remind you, friend, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. When I couldn't reach up, he reached down, amen. Can I just say this tonight? When I wasn't looking at him, he was looking at me, amen. But oh, happy day, the day I got glorious born again to the family of God. Somebody said, "What happened to you?" I tell you what, I didn't go through rehab. I went through rebirth, and I've been made a new creature, amen. God changed my life, amen. You know, I'm just grateful what God's done in my life. Somebody said, "Well, you don't deserve it." Amen to that. Amen. But I'm grateful I've got it tonight. Amen. I'm glad I got the no-so-kind too. I'm glad I didn't get brainwashed, but blood washed. Amen. I'm glad I didn't kind of join some kind of church or just go through the baptism pool. I went down to the old wrecking cross. Amen. And I went down a sinner, but I came up a millionaire. Amen. I tell you, God rearranged my life. I remember telling somebody, they said, well, and this ain't part of the message, but I give it to you anyhow, but I said to me one time, they said, "Oh, it won't last too long, but it's been lasting many years now, and I plan on lasting until I get to the home in heaven, amen." I tell you what, I'm glad God gave me eternal life and that I'll never perish, amen. I'm getting Christ come to give me that life and give me life more abundantly, amen. But when we look in the Scripture tonight, we find four things I want to mention tonight about the family, amen. I'll say, first of all, if you look there with me, in verses number 22, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I'll say, first of all, that, you know, here goes a family that death had visited. Every one of us, death had visited our families, amen. Every one of us had got a phone call in the night, and every one of us had had to say, I'll see you later, because Christians don't really say goodbye. We just say, I'll see you later. I'm grateful for that tonight. You know, it wasn't too long ago. In fact, this coming up Wednesday, my mom, a year ago, was going down the road like any other day, and there was something laying in the road. She hit it, and she got a little sideways and swiped the sign. We had no idea Mama had problems. We knew she had some difficulties, diabetes and heart such as that, but we had no idea that day that Mama, and that one of the deacons at the church was going to call me and say, Pastor, your mom's on the side of the road with a flat tire. And I called him. I said, that's no problem. Where's she at? And I'll go help her change the tire, that kind of thing. He said, no, that's not the problem, preacher. The problem is she's not acting just right. And I said, what's going on? And so what I did, I called my sister, lived right down the road, and she went over there, and she said, JT, Mom's just not acting just right. I said, well, you ought to go call the rescue squad. So they take her to the hospital, and I go in the hospital there that day, and getting out of work and going there, and we rushed over there, and I looked at the monitor, and Mom's blood pressure was 60 over 40. My mom looked at me, she said, JT, would you please help me? And I said to her, Mom, I'm going to do all I can to help you. And all of a sudden, they gave her morphine, and Mom quit breathing just like that. I told my wife, I said, you know, it's not going to be long. Mom's not going to no longer be with us. And my sister said, you know, if anybody's got to have faith, you got to have it. But riding in the rescue squad and different things, you can look at certain things and tell what's going to take place. Little did I know, at 11:20 that same night, my mom would check out of here and check in the glory. It's hard. It's hurtful. Mother Day was not the same. Truth of the matter is, I'll just be honest with you. On Mother's Day, I nearby couldn't hardly preach. It was so emotional. And I just couldn't hardly do it. I thought to myself, man, you know, it's just such a hard thing. And Mother, you know, you go to church on Mother's Day, everybody sings about Mom. You think, man, what do you do now? But see, death has visited this family. This man has died and he's in hell. And can you just imagine how this mom must have felt and this dad must have felt? And you know, you say, I can go on and on. My dad, he ever since he retired, he'd lay down and take him an afternoon nap. And my mom asked him, said, what is it that you want for supper? He said, I want some butter beans and sauces. So Mom cooked those things. And when she did, she went back in to wake him up. And Daddy was gone. I got there that day. I said, I want to check my dad. So we looked at EKG, all that stuff, and Daddy was gone. And I'll never forget, I stood by Dad's casket that day, and the day of the funeral, I walked over there, Brother Ennis, and I said, well, Dad, I know you're not here. I know this is just a shell. But this man at this funeral home has said we got to close the casket and get the service started. But just let me tell you, Dad, I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm just going to say, I'll see you later. Amen. And I said, he's going to close it. But one day, the trumpet of God's going to sound. And the Lord's going to open it. And I'll meet you in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. You see, friend, I'll tell you what was amazing about that is that this family death had visited. Every one of us have had that phone call. Every one of us has had those that we lost. Every one of those had to say our goodbyes. And it's so hard. It never gets any better. It doesn't matter if it's young or old. Everybody leaves. You know, the Bible tells us, and as appointed a man wants to die, and after this is judgment. Judgment, I'm telling you, that every one of us, unless the Lord comes recently in our lifetime, we will die. This family death had visited. How many ever walked by one of your loved ones and wondered where they was at? How many ever wondered about the opportunities we had that we didn't take advantage of? You know, can I say, the Lord Jesus Christ is the best thing we can offer him. Some years ago, I'm not bragging myself, bragging the Lord, God laid on my heart, there was a gospel tract, looked like a little gift box. And that little gift box, it was folded up, and when you open it up, it says, the world's most greatest gift. For God so loved the world. And John 3:16 was in there, and one of my family members laughed and snickered and said, it's just the preacher coming out in them. And I'll be honest with you, church, it broke my heart. Because the man that was doing all the laughing was a drunkard. The man that was doing all the laughing was lost. The man who was doing all the laughing was sick. You know, friend, I tell you, I don't know tonight where he is, but I do know he's in eternity somewhere, because death visited our family. Every one of us has experienced that, haven't we? It's never a pleasant phone call. It's never a time where we just get up and rejoice. In fact, is I don't know anybody that gets up in the morning and waves to the house and say, "Bye, house. Somebody's going to mow the lawn next week. I'm checking out." Truth of the matter is, our family's checking out one by one. And I tell you what, it seemed like in our way, it seemed like it always comes in threes. It's like it comes more rapid than it does slower. But we find here, he goes, first of all, his family that death had visited. I'm sure you this. But also the thing that really stirred my heart about this, notice, if you will, in verse number 28. The Bible says that he's crying here. He's asking for mercy, different things. But notice what he said in verse 28. "I have five brothers that may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Can I say tonight that not only here goes the family that death had visited, but second of all, like most of us, here goes a family that others are headed to hell. How many of y'all, by raising hands, got lost loved ones that's in your family? Can I say to you and I tonight, if they don't get born again in the family of God, they're going to go to hell. Can I say tonight, as I mentioned a while ago, that in hell, regardless of what the rock stars say or anybody else say, there is no parties in hell. Can I say that in hell, they're totally separated from God for all eternity? Can I say in hell, there's no second chances. There's no getting out, amen. And our family's headed there on a train, like a runaway bus, and it seems that we sit around and say, "Oh yes, we'll send missions around the world. We'll support this. We'll go down to the nursing home." All this stuff is very important. We do it at our church too. But I'm telling you, friend, we need to be trying to reach our family, because we got folks headed to hell right around us. And I'm telling you, if we don't reach them, the family circle would be broken. It will be. Can you imagine how it's going to be? I'm amazed at my daughter. In fact, we was a little nervous about the meeting here, because my daughter was supposed to have a baby about any time. Now, thank the Lord, he let him come on Monday. Mama there said, "I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to go up to Brother Ennis's with you, depending on what happened with Sarah." I said, "Oh, she's married. She's a big girl. She'll be just fine." But you know, I'll tell you, I look at that little boy. I got a little granddaughter too. I look at them and I say, "Dear God, please, please, God, save them early. Dear God, please get a hold of their life early, God." And we're trying to teach them songs, and we're trying to trying to teach a young girl. She likes the song, "I Got the Joy, Joy, Joy Down in My Heart." And she likes to say, "Where?" But friend, I'm being honest with you tonight. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I had an uncle was in the hospital, and I went to go see him. He said, "JT, I want you to know something. I'm going to go to church when I get straightened out." That was on a Wednesday. And on Saturday, I stood before his casket and preached his funeral. He went to church that day, but the whole time my heart was troubled. I was brokenhearted. You see, friend, I'm from a family that's not very good church-going people. I'm from a family that thinks that the world and boozing and partying is the lifestyle of fun. But can I remind you, friend, what you're looking at tonight is just a miracle in my life. Because can I remind you tonight, church, I was a bus kid. I was one that another church tried to pick me up, and they taught me one day that you're about a mile too far, your clothes is not good enough, you get on the bus and you make our bus money, because our folks didn't have much. And my grandma was asking me about going to church, to homecoming. I said, "I'm not going to church. If I go, everybody think I'm going to eat." But my grandma had a burden for my soul. And you know what I said? I said, "I'll go to church just before she'll leave me alone." And little did I know, when I went to church, that there was somebody there bigger than I was. Little did I know that she'd been praying for me, and God began to work in my heart. And friend, I'm telling you, we sat around and our family's going to hell. This man right here said, "I'm telling you what, please, please go warn my brothers. Please, somebody go down to my dad's house. Please, they're heading the same way." It's a sad thing to know your family's going to hell and doing nothing about it. Look at this man. It's too late now. Let him hear Moses and the prophets. They hear not them, they won't never repent. So we see a family that death had visited, a family that others are headed to hell. Now, you raised your hand. You said that, you know, that the truth is that all of us got lost loved ones. Can I just say something tonight? I'm afraid that we become cold and calloused when it comes to souls. I believe we need to become soul conscious. That one down at Walmart that's the checkout lady's got a soul. That one that's sitting on the receiving end of that light bill that you can put a gospel track in has a soul. And friend, I'm telling you, the Bible said the soul that sinned shall surely die. And what he said, I'm telling you, inside of them, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell and they leave this world. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm afraid that many times we may stand before God with bloody hands because God gives us the opportunity to reach them. And no doubt we should try to reach them. But third of all, let me give you this. Not only a family that death had visited, a family that for sure that others was headed to hell. But now look at this. This is really sad. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Can I say, not only this is a family that death had visited, this is a family that others had head to help. Here goes something very sad. This is a family that for sure one's in hell. I tell you, talking about my daughter a while ago, it's amazing that you lady folk know what I'm talking about. You can have your kid back in the nursery. You can hear that one that's yours. All of them can be screaming bloody murder, but I tell you what, the one that's yours, you know that's yours crying. And for long, you get up to go check on them. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, the Bible says in hell, there's gnashing and there's wailing of teeth. This man's in hell. He's crying. He's crying, have mercy on me. He's begging for water. He said, oh, please, I need some water. Just not a cup, not a gallon, but just a tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue for I'm tormented in this flame. Can I say hell has become a fairy tale in a lot of places? But friend, if there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. And I'm telling you, if they don't get born again in the family of God, that's where they're going to go. How many of your families in hell? The question is, what do we do to reach them? Something to think about, isn't it? You see, so many times I believe the hardest folks sometimes to reach is your family. Because they know what we used to be. They know we're not always what we ought to be. But that still don't make an excuse not to go out bearing precious seed, weeping. The Bible says we'll do that. We shall doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. You know, we can only sow, we can only reap if we sow. Somebody might say, well, there's no need. There's no need. I'll tell you what, there's no need, but there is a need. You know, when we get like the book of Jeremiah, when our eyes start affecting our hearts, we'll see a great need to try to reach them before it's eternally too late. Can you imagine this? Here goes a family for sure is in hell. I don't know anybody here tonight that wants your family to leave this world and die and go to a place called hell. Friend, we ought to pray for them. Amen. We ought to try to reach them what we can. We ought to do our very best to try to do that which we can to win them to Christ. And you say, well, I've taught them many times. But friend, I'm telling you, just keep trying. Amen. Just any day a prodigal may walk through this door. Amen. Just any day, don't sell the farm. Keep it tight. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. Because I'm telling you, friend, that I still believe God's able to save them. Amen. Don't let hell get your family. Here goes a family that for sure one is in hell. I don't know anybody who wants their children to go to hell. You know, can I say this? It's really amazing to me in the day and hours we live that it seems, in our area, it may not be this way here, but it seems like that parents are so concerned with ball games and beauty pageants and places at the river that becomes the priority over the church. But friend, we're not forsaken to send ourselves together, amen. And so much the more we see they're approaching, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you know, I just don't know. I got to let them live a little bit. But I'm telling you, you've got to teach them about Christ. Amen. You've got to train them up the way they ought to go. No, they won't depart from it. If we don't, guess where they're headed? They might be precious, but I'm telling you, they're still perishing without Jesus. We sing the song, Rescue the Perishing. Care for the dying. Here goes a family. Death had visited. For sure, one's in hell. For sure, others are headed to hell. But fourth of all, I'll show you this. The Bible says in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wilt send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Not only death has visited this family, not only for sure one's in hell, not only for sure others is headed to hell, but for sure, here goes a family, only one is begging for the others. Whatever happened to the day when our altars used to be wet with tears? Whatever happened to the day when the men of God would get up and preach on hell and mom's hearts would be broken and dad's heart would be broken and they come down to an old-fashioned altar and just beg God and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Dear God, my boy's headed to hell. My girl's lost without God. I need you to do something great in the life. But today, we got so busy and so bold to say, well, I don't want anybody to know my business. I'm just too embarrassed about what they're doing. Can I tell you, friend, never be too embarrassed to what Jesus can do in their life. But you know, here goes a man in hell, and he's begging for his family. Hey, would you please send somebody? Can you just get somebody to go down to my father's house? Down to my father's house, I got these brothers. And I know that the same way I am, I know they're lost without God. I know they have no hope. I know they need Jesus. Would somebody just please go? Please, would somebody just do something for Christ? Hey, will you go? Would you ask the preacher to go? Somebody go warn them. We don't go, who's going to go? You know, we got the greatest story and the greatest message ever. But I'm afraid many times we're leaving it right in the four walls of the church. You say, what's so important tonight? Let me ask you, when's the last time you heard that kid screaming? When's the last time you got so stirred? I thought about tonight preaching a message about being stirred, and Paul's in the book of Acts there, he got stirred, his spirit got stirred in him. But can I say tonight that when's the last time you got so stirred over lost souls that you just couldn't do nothing but weep and weep and weep and weep? I remember when I was a young preacher there, and a fellow come up there and he said to Brother John Long, how many of y'all know Brother John Long? Good man of God. Brother John Long, he come up to him, Pastor Ennis, he said, Brother John, I want you to know I preached on hell last night. Brother John said, did you preach on it with tears? He said, I didn't. Brother John said, well, you really didn't preach on hell then. Look at them. See them? Headed to hell tonight. When's the last time your heart's been broken? You know, I tell you, God's really been dealing with my heart. Y'all pray for me. Don't I get the more tenderhearted I get? I don't know if the Lord's just working on me or what it is, but just a few weeks ago, there in our hometown, there's a little homeless shelter. As we're going down through there one day, we're going down to nurse home to preach. We rode through there just to see. There was a little old girl sitting there with a paper cup trying to fan herself. In the hot of the day, just trying to stay cool. And I thought myself, you know, this little girl didn't ask to be brought in this world. This little girl didn't ask to be where she's at here in this homeless shelter and all these kind of things, but can I say tonight that God began to deal with our hearts? And I'll tell you, the older I get, I'm going to be honest with you, the more soul conscious I become and the more I realize God's going to hold me accountable. You know, everybody we come in contact with, God holds us accountable. But let me ask you, when's the last time you begged God to do something in that loved one's life? You know, it's amazing. When they get in trouble, the law, we'll pray. When they're having things going to life, we'll pray. But we fail many times to pray about their never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity in one place or the other. There's only two places, heaven or hell. Let me ask you, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we going to be like this family here and let death come visit us and let our family go to hell? Or are we going to get a hold of God? Friend, can I just say this tonight? I don't think the solution's in the White House. I think the solution's in God's house. I still believe we'll do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. We'll see God do something in this nation, amen. I still believe that, listen, that God can still do anything but fail. And I'm telling you, I've been praying for a fella, praying for family to be put back together. One fella I've been praying for now for 5 years, and God sent him to the church last week. You say, what happened? You saying, God, it's just going to make you pray 5 years? Ain't they worth it? Whatever happened to today's And we would pray without ceasing. Do as the Bible said, men ought to always pray and faint not. Amen. But now we just come this way, you know. We got this attitude, it's going to be what it's going to be. I heard one man tell me, I'd lead a horse to the water, but I can't make him drink. You're exactly right. But I tell you what, we ought to keep fresh water in the trough. Just in case he gets thirsty, he might want to drink. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all has got family that's headed to hell? Let me ask you this. What are you going to do about it? Are we just going to sit by and say, well, Brother Ennis will take care of that? You see, it's not always the preacher's responsibility. When God saves a man, he expects us all to be a witness. And I've learned the best thing to tell folks is just what God has done for you. I was at a grocery store today, and my wife will tell you this will be true. A guy wasn't my play football with in high school, and he said, hey, I want to ask you a question. I said, what's your question? He said, I heard something. I don't know if it's true or not, but I want to find out. And I said, what's your question? He said, well, I heard that you was preaching. You're pastoring a church. I said, it's true. It is true. He said, man, what in the world took place? I said, I'll tell you what took place. I met the master. He called me this thing. Said, but what I'm telling you is tonight, look at them, Lord. Well, some of y'all, the very one tonight you thought about is the very one you need to try to reach before it's eternally too late. Somebody said, well, I don't know who to go to. The one you thought about a while ago. The one that was lost when you raised your hand. The one you thought about when I said it for sure was headed to hell because they never met Jesus. That's the one you need to get on the phone with. Go by and pay them a visit. Tell them about Jesus one more time. I believe the Spirit of God can still do the work. Bible says he saved to the uttermost. I'm glad that God's salvation is a whosoever will salvation. The first message God allowed me to preach was, I remember this, Brother Frank was at the preaching fellowship, and Brother Frank Smith said, oh, praise the Lord, we got time for one more. And he called me up. I tell you, my knees was a knocking. I could feel the chains jingling in my pocket. I was so nervous. Man, those guys preached like there's fighting fire that day. And I thought to myself, oh, mercy me. My keys were jingling. I was trying to hold them tight for nobody would know. But God gave me a message there. I'm so glad. I'm a whosoever. And I tell you tonight, church, if God can save me, and God can save you, God too can save them. But the question is, we see what happened. If you really think about this tonight, it's kind of a thing the Bible says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You know, I believe that we can find and teach and believe that he could see. He could see. We believe that he had some memory. Father Abraham. Friend, I'm telling you, I believe the saddest words in the Word of God that I've ever read is on the day of judgment, the Lord said, depart from me, you works of iniquity, for I never a lot of folks he don't know tonight. See, we don't need to give them a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Because they get Jesus in their heart, their life will be forever changed. You say, well, I've been trying to win Christ preach. I have. I tell you what, I've been doing that. I tell you what, but I tell you what, that parable said that some of that fell on stony ground. All my family stony ground. I'm telling you, this ain't going to work. You know what? It ain't up for us to try to always reap the harvest. Paul planted. But Apollos watered. But here goes the key. But God gave the increase. You see, can I say this tonight? If they get saved for us, it won't be no good. But when the sweet Spirit of God gets hold of their life and they get glorious born again in the family of God, I'm telling you, they'll be a different creature and their life will be forever changed.